What is going on, guys? Hello and welcome back to the GoingFor2.com NFL Sports Betting Show. It is week 13 already in the NFL. It's almost December. We got December football coming up. The playoff picture is sort of coming together. Week 12 is come and gone, and what do you know? No surprise here. Another successful one for us here at the show. Up $1,200 last week. We had a lot, went really heavy, and virtually every single pick that we had cashed. We had a couple $1,000 parlays, one with the Chargers and Ravens that paid us $375, the other Chargers and Colts plus $450 there. Then we had a $400 tease to win $330. We had the under 60.5 in the Broncos Steelers game, Green Bay plus 17, Chargers plus 1, and Ravens plus 2.5. Then we had a couple flyer picks. The only pick that lost, $100 on Green Bay, plus 3, and then $50 on New York Giants, plus 6, cashed as well. So yeah, up $1,200, which brings our grand total to $7,714 so far on the season. It's just been an incredible run here. 10 straight weeks of cashing. So we aim to make that 11 straight weeks. So with me today to help me do that and break down the slate, play a little guess the lines, is the founder himself of GoingFor2.com, Jeff Lambert. Jeff, how's it going tonight, man?
What's up, man? How you doing? I'm ready to get this podcast going, and I'm just kind of watching some of that Saints game there and get me excited for some football.
Yeah, we are recording this on Thursday evening, so I believe the Saints are losing 13-0 as we speak right now.
That is correct.
Yikes. I could see, I of course, those who follow the podcast know I just hate Thursday night football, so I never have it or guess the lines or bet anything on Thursday night. So this is a total trap game. I knew I was not going to throw New Orleans in a tease or anything, so they're choking right now, so that's... that's good to see. They needed to be dropped down a peg anyway.
True story.
Week 12 is in the books. How did it go for you, DFS wise? Make any bets? Fantasy? How was week 12?
DFS wise, it was quite terrible. Actually, I don't even want to talk about it. It was that bad. Now in my season long fantasy, I absolutely dominated in my dynasty league. Put up over 220 points with my starters. And even my bench, had I benched all my starters and started my entire bench, I still would have won this past weekend. So my dynasty team was dominant.
Very nice. Good to hear. But yeah, DFS was tough this week. Very a lot of random guys went off, and the chalk sort of... Odell had like 12 points, and he was going up against like the fifth string corners of the Eagles. Very weird week. So that one's in the books. We'll chalk that one up as an L, but we are back for week 13, unlucky 13 here, so let's play a little guess the lines, Jeff. How does that sound?
Let's do it.
The first game on our slate, we have the 6-5 Baltimore Ravens taking on the Falcons in Atlanta. The Falcons, 4-7, they're basically out of it. No real hopes at a wild card. They're not technically out of the race, but it's pretty abysmal right now, pretty dim in Atlanta, and I know they had high hopes for the season. Vegas, coming into the year, had them to win the NFC South, so that is obviously not the case. The Saints have run away with that division. And then Baltimore, 6-5. Lamar Jackson is 2-0 so far. He's been playing really well, set the rookie record for rushing yards by a quarterback in his first two games. So it is in Atlanta, and Lamar is starting, so a rookie quarterback on the road. I said Atlanta by 2.5.
All right, well, I'm going a different route with this one. This is sort of a strength versus strength with the Falcons basically, being a high-powered offense. Obviously, they're at home. They play much better at home. The Ravens, of course, are a great defense, especially versus the pass. The Falcons, on the other end, on defense, are actually dead last in DVOA, which I use for my defenses. They're actually dead last in DVOA efficiency. Overall, they're 29th versus the pass and 31st versus the run, which sets up pretty well for Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards, the Gus Bus, as we call them. So I think the Ravens actually go into Atlanta and get this
interesting enough, Vegas. Sort of, I wanted to say Baltimore, but, you know, it's a rookie quarterback. It is in Atlanta, so Vegas sort of sided with me here. They're giving Atlanta a point and a half over the Ravens on Sunday. So the one thing I wanted to talk about, Jeff, is I play a lot of Madden online, PlayStation, and whenever I play the Ravens, anytime I'm matched up against, you know, the game starts, you're about to pick your play to do the kickoff, and every time the person pauses the game, they go to the depth chart and they just bump Joe Flacco out and put in Lamar Jackson. Is there like a single, like, any online match that has been played with the Ravens in the history of Madden 19 where anybody played with Joe Flacco at quarterback? Like, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself through hell there and when Jackson's on your bench? Do you think there's any chance we see Flacco ever start a game in Baltimore again?
No, no chance at all. I think it's Jackson's show from here on out. They drafted Jackson for a reason. They needed an excuse to get Flacco out of there. He gave it to them. Jackson's in now. There's no reason to pull Jackson back out. He's been winning on top of that. Flacco's contract next year is no longer guaranteed, so he will be obviously cut and let go, and I don't think they retain him, so he'll be somewhere else next year. So it'll be Jackson's team going forward.
Could not agree more myself. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up, because I really don't see a team that really would want to start over with Joe Flacco. I mean, does he just go as a backup and sign with maybe like a team like the Cowboys, or just a team in need of a quarterback mid-season when a guy gets injured? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to go somewhere. You know, there'll be some more rookie quarterbacks coming out this year. There's some second-year quarterbacks out there that'll be second-year quarterbacks next year when he gets, you know, his free agency. I think he goes somewhere to play behind somebody. Maybe he goes somewhere where the quarterback situation isn't exactly steady, or maybe he can get a start eventually, but I don't think any team is going to pick him and say, this is our guy for the future, let's go with Joe Flacco.
You hit it right on the head there, my friend. I don't see a place for him to play really here in the near future, unless, again, like Jay Cutler played for the Dolphins for a year, something like that. But, you know, there's been some talk, Jeff. There's been some real chatter that I've seen in several articles that, like, the Ravens, if Joe Flacco is healthy, even with the 2-0 start from Jackson, there's some people in the organization who want Flacco to play just because he brought him a Super Bowl. Like, he's been there for years, and just sort of ride it out this one last year, and then Jackson takes the reins next year. Do you remember a couple of years ago when there were all those riots in Baltimore and people were looting the streets and the Orioles had to play a game with no fans? Do you remember that in like 2016?
Yep.
I feel like if the Ravens started Flacco again, I think that's what happened. Like, the city of Baltimore would just like implode within itself. The streets would be on fire, people looting, rioting in the streets. Like, they cannot go back to Flacco.
No, I totally agree, and yeah, I do remember those riots. You know, obviously I lived in D.C., so they were pretty close to home. A couple of my friends were actually in Baltimore when it happened, so yeah, I definitely remember that. And I don't know if it would be quite that bad with Flacco starting there, because, you know, he does have a little bit of love here because of, you know, the Super Bowl and everything else. But I think at the same time, like, the Flacco kind of screwed them, because he went for that big, huge contract, got his big, huge contract, and since then, they couldn't sign anybody worth a damn, basically, to come there and help them out. They've been a bad team ever since. I think if he had signed a more team-friendly contract, they could have probably stayed, you know, contenders for the next couple of years. But he got his big payday, and they've been terrible ever since.
Yep, totally agree. They've really, really handcuffed themselves to a radiator there with that contract. But it's almost over, and Jackson is on a rookie deal. He only makes a couple million, so. It's time, man. I'm very, very curious to watch this team next year, who they sign in free agency. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Definitely.
The over-under in this ball game is pretty high. It's 48, pretty even line. So Baltimore plus 120 for the money line, Atlanta minus 140. For me, this game, it's an AFC versus NFC team. Both of these teams do not see each other often, so for me, that usually means I'm staying away. And in this case, I am definitely staying away. I really don't know who's going to win this game. This is really kind of the first Atlanta's defense is pretty bad, but on the road for Jackson, we'll see how he takes it because he's had two home games, so we'll see how he fares on the road. Do you have any bets in this one?
No bets on this one because it is an AFC versus the NFC team, and a lot of those sometimes they're kind of feeling each other out. I would be tempted because Vegas has the Falcons favored, and since I thought the Ravens would be favored, I would be tempted to take this game. But the Ravens, you're right, rookie quarterback, rookie running back for that matter, undrafted rookie running back, you know, in that backfield, you don't know what you're going to get there. I do think it's a little bit safer with Jackson because he is a running quarterback. I mean, I think his first game he ran the ball 27 times. I mean, there's running backs in the league that don't get 27 carries. He's a quarterback getting carries. So I think that makes it a little bit safer as far as turnovers and such, and making the game very slow, which is going to actually kill the Falcons' offense if that Ravens' offense gets rolling. They'll chunk out yards very slowly and make this game a lot shorter than it should be, given the Falcons very few opportunities to score. I think that's how they win the game. I think that they're going to be defensively, they can, you know, be with the Falcons pretty well. I think that they can cover their receivers pretty well, and then slip the game down by running the ball 100 times a game, you know, basically, and get this victory.
Very well said. I couldn't agree more. The Ravens, they're actually fighting with the Colts right now for that last wild card spot, so we'll see what happens, and sort of monitor the Flacco-Jackson debate, too. The next game on our slate is also a noon game. It is the 2-9 Arizona Cardinals hopping into Green Bay, the 4-6-1 Packers. Green Bay, a much needed win in Minnesota. They did not get it. They lost to my Vikings in US Bank Stadium. So they're 4-6-1. They have the same record as the Browns. They are just a half game better than the Bills right now. It's really been a nightmare season for Green Bay so far. And to be honest, what do you think about this, Jeff? I think this has probably been the worst week of Aaron Rodgers' life, I think, this week. People are slandering him. His name's getting taken out of the GOAT conversation. Like, are we saying Aaron Rodgers is done? There's turmoil with him and McCarthy. It's just been, he just looks miserable on the sidelines there all the time when they show his face. This has got to be, I mean, what do you think about this situation? It's pretty strange seeing the Packers basically in last place in the NFC North.
Yeah, I think it's pretty unfair. I mean, Rodgers has got Devontae Adams and then a bunch of rookie receivers is all he's been had, all he's had all year. And rookie receivers, they don't know the playbook very well. They're not, you know, they're not sort of versed in the defensive coverages. So Rodgers basically has one receiver. Jimmy Graham hasn't been what he's, you know, been in the past. He's not the tight end he was when he was with the Saints. So I think that his weapons kind of hurt him a little bit. He's still making that team better than it should be, because on paper, if you took Rodgers off that lineup, they're not very good. So I think that he's actually making them somewhat competitive in these games just by his sheer ability. With that said, you know, this is the worst the Packers have ever been at this point in the season with Rodgers healthy. I think I saw a stat in that last game that the last time the Packers had a losing record this late in the season, they actually reeled off six straight wins to end the season and went to the division championship that year. Obviously, they still lost to the Vikings, but that didn't happen. I don't see it happening. This particular game, I think they can probably pull this one out because they are at home. They do play much better at home, and the Cardinals are a terrible, terrible team. So I think they get the victory here, but I think there'll be some wholesale changes this offseason with that coaching staff and possibly even above that.
With all that being said, they still are Green Bay. It is in Green Bay. Arizona's 2-9. I said Packers by 12 in this one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, the Cardinals, the only team worse than the Cardinals as far as offense goes in DVOA is the Bills. Cardinals offense just cannot move the ball. I mean, their quarterback, their rookie quarterback is doing okay for a rookie, but their offense is just terrible. They got a pretty decent defense for as bad as offense is. Their defense isn't too bad. But going to Green Bay is tough at any time. You know, it's going to be cold up there. It's going to be, it may not quite be the frozen tundra yet, but I guarantee you it's not going to be a comfortable situation there for the Cardinals. And I actually have the Packers minus 14.
Very good. Very nice guess, Jeff. It is Green Bay by 13.5, so just a point underneath there. Basically right on the head. So So as a Vikings fan, I mean, it's been pretty great here. I enjoy seeing Rodgers suffer because he's made us suffer for basically the better part of a decade. So it's truly been just a terrible week. I mean, he's just, his name's been thrown all over the place. Like, are we sure he's one of the greatest of all time? Like, he's been playing pretty poorly, Jeff. What do you equate that to, do you think?
It's definitely his receivers. I mean, he's got a bunch of rookie receivers there. It's Devontae Adams and a bunch of rookies. Randall Cobb hasn't been healthy all year. Of course, Jordy Nelson is now out in L.A. or in Oakland. Sorry. And yeah, I just think it's just a bad offense. I mean, they just don't have much. They fell behind early. That you had a couple games they should have won. They didn't win, so their record doesn't look very good. And I think Rodgers is basically doing everything he can just to keep that team competitive.
In my tease this week, like you said, I think they're going to make a run here at the end and maybe win four or five of these next games. But like I'm sure everybody saw on the broadcast, they have a 3% chance to make the playoffs right now as it stands. That's what the analytics say. So, but you never know. Aaron Rodgers is a god of some sort, so you cannot count him out ever. So I was thinking of maybe doing a ballsy call, an Arizona plus 27 in my tees, so they can lose by 26, but they just lost by 35 to the Chargers, so I might be off that one. But I'm just throwing Green Bay basically to even, just they have to win the game outright as the first leg in my $500 tees this week.
I'm not actually touching this game either. I think the Packers will win this game, but 14 points is quite a large spread, even, you know, with the Cardinals coming in. I'm not touching it.
The over-under is 45. The money lines are ridiculous at minus 1,200 for the Packers, plus 800 for Arizona. So if you want to win $100, you got to bet 1,200 on Packers this Sunday. So doesn't sound great to me, so I'm just throwing them in my tees, though. The next game on our slate, we have the 6-5 Carolina Panthers taking on a division foe in the Buccaneers, who are 4-7. It is in Tampa Bay, so I said Carolina by 5 in this one.
Yeah, this one is kind of interesting because the Bucs defense has just been horrendous all year long. They're actually 31st DVOA overall. 33rd the pass and 27th versus the run, so not a very good defense. The Panthers aren't a high-powered offense per se, but they do have some weapons there with Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, Cam Newton is there. Their rookie DJ Moore stepped up to be a pretty good receiver as well. The only thing that I'm a little nervous on this one is the Panthers actually don't play well on the road. They're actually 5-1 at home, but only 1-4 on the road. So I'm a little bit nervous with that particular stat, but I still bet the Panthers -6.
Yeah, I totally get your concerns, but Vegas still just thinks Tampa Bay is atrocious. They have Carolina by 4 in this one on Sunday. So a couple things with this one. The highest over-under on the slate at 55 for this game. So all you DFS players, this is the one to stack, I think. Do you like the over-under at all? Anything stick out to you in this one?
Oh yeah, I love the over-under if you're a DFS player because you want fantasy points. But as a bettor, I don't know if I'm going to bet the over on that with the Panthers' struggles on the road. I just don't think that they can get enough points. Even with this bad Buccaneers team, the Panthers, like I said, they don't play well on the road at all. Cam Newton actually has been sacked 13 times on the road in one less game and only 6 times at home. So that's pretty tough right there. He takes a lot more sacks. He also, for some reason, doesn't run as much. He's run 60 attempts at home, but only 25 times on the road. So that may have something to do with it as well. He's kind of staying in the pocket more, but he's getting sacked more at the same time. So, I don't think I'd take anything with the over-under there.
Very good point. Has not been the fantasy stud that we would like. He really, the numbers from his career early on, he was always running the ball, getting 50, 60 yards a game. That's just not the case anymore. So he's really been staying in the pocket. Now, Carolina, with the loss against Seattle, they bumped themselves out of the playoff picture right now if the season were to end today. And it just, several weeks ago, against the Lions, that was just a brutal loss. Graham Gano missed a field goal and an extra point. They go for it on two. Shout out to the name of the site. They go for it for two, and they just do not get it at the end of the game. They lose by a point. Pretty brutal loss. Like, that's one that you just, as a Panthers fan, you just got to shake your head at. And now they're out of the playoff picture. Do you think they can come back from that? Their schedule is, I've looked at it, it's pretty easy going forward here, but they do play the Saints twice.
Yeah, that's, you know, as a fantasy player, I love these matchups that they got. We actually talked about this on my podcast a little bit, that the Panthers, for fantasy players, for season long, you know, their matchups are the best matchups, you know, you can possibly have. I think they play Tampa Bay this week. They got the Saints twice. I think the Browns are kind of sandwiched in between the Saints games, so you love all those matchups. I do think they lose probably both those Saints games, which is probably going to kill them in their playoff hunt. But if they win this game, they win the Browns game, and I can't think who they have week 17, they might be able to sneak in as a wild card, but they're going to need some help for sure.
Yep, no doubt. I mean, there still are five weeks left, five games for every single team, no more bye weeks, so they definitely are going to need some help. But that Lions loss was just brutal. I mean, that's one where they would be up 7-4 right now. That's basically, you'd win two more games out of the five and you're in the playoffs. Now they have to win three or four out of the five they have left. So we'll see what happens, but it's kind of a murky playoff picture in the NFC right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, outside of the Saints and the Rams, it's pretty wide open.
The next game on our slate, we have the surprise team in the NFL this year, the 8-3 Bears, taking on the opposite end, 3-8 New York Giants in New York there. The Bears, man, I mean, what can you say? They won on Thanksgiving several weeks ago with Chase Daniel as quarterback. He will be starting this game as well. Fun stat on Chase Daniel, he's been in the league for a decade now, 10 years, and he has started four career football games as a starter in the National Football League. Two of them have come this season, so quite the career he's had. For any of you Blue Mountain State fans, he's had quite the Alex Moran career. He's just basically just rode the pine his whole career and cashed game checks. I mean, what a career for Chase Daniel. But he is back in this one, so that kind of murkies the water here. I said Chicago by six.
Yeah, I actually wrote my line down before the Trubisky news, you know, because he's not playing in this game. And I actually had a stat on Trubisky that I just want to throw out there. I know he's not playing, but just something to keep in mind there. So the top three QBR quarterbacks in the league, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky. So that's pretty impressive right there. I don't think people have really appreciated how well he's been playing. But with Trubisky not playing, it does kind of hurt the Bears a little bit, especially that offense. I originally had the Bears minus 10, but I'm going to take that down a little bit and go Bears minus 7.
Yeah, I like the thinking behind it for sure, but it is on the road, and Vegas really doesn't believe in Chase Daniel because they should be favored by 10 even on the road if Trubisky's playing. It's Chicago by 4.5 right now, according to Vegas. So, yeah, this game just, right off the bat, I mean, no chance I'm betting on this game. Chase Daniel has played four career games. I don't know what to think about that. He played pretty well against the Lions, but it is on the road against a Giants defense that's actually pretty good. So I don't know what to do about this game. I'm not going to throw it into tease, not going to money line it. So anything stick out to you in this one?
I think the biggest thing is that Bears defense, and they're a nasty, nasty defense, number one overall. Defense, and that Giants offense, you know, they got Barkley, they got Odell, they're putting up good fantasy numbers, but they're not a very good offense. And I think if they're going to win this game, they need Chase Daniels just to sort of be good enough, you know, get the ball to Tarik Cohen, you know, get the ball on some quick slants, get the ball to Trey Burton, just be good enough, allow that defense to do its thing, and then be close in that fourth quarter, and then the Bears defense can shut it down. So I think the Bears still have a good shot to basically pull this game out by at least a touchdown. But it won't be as easy as it would have been with Mitch Trubisky.
The over-under in this one is 44.5. Seems about right. The Bears are minus 200 favorites. New York plus 170 for the victory. I really don't have too much more to say about this game, but yeah, I don't know. I just you cannot bet on Colt McCoy, Chase Daniel, any of these guys who are getting slotted in. Cody Kessler, I'm not going to be betting on Cody Kessler for Jacksonville. So I really don't have any much more to say on this one. The one fun fact about this game, though, that the Bears safety Eddie Jackson, since 2017, last year, he has 5 defensive touchdowns. He's got like 4 pick sixes and a fumble recovery for a touchdown. The next closest player is, I believe, Aaron Donald, and he has 2. So Eddie Jackson has fucking 5 touchdowns. Julio Jones has like 3 in like the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's crazy.
All right. The next game on our slate, we have the 10-1 Los Angeles Rams coming into Detroit against the abysmal Lions, who are 4-7. The Rams, of course, have been just lighting the league on fire. Their only loss coming to the Saints on the road. They had a fantastic loss or a fantastic win against the Chiefs several weeks ago on Monday night. So they had a bye week last week. So coming off the bye, I said Rams by 8.5 points in this one.
Yeah, I went a little bit higher than that. You know, the Lions, they used to have one of the deepest receiving corps in the league with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones and then Galladay, the rookie. Of course, Tate's now in Philly. Marvin Jones is now in IR. They have a running back, Theo Riddick, that's running half of his snaps out of the slot as a receiver because they're so, you know, hard up for receivers right now. That offense is struggling. They can't protect Matthew Stafford. So he can't get time to get the ball down the field. It's just a mess. That Rams defense isn't great, but they're good enough to get pressure on the quarterback, and I think that the Rams can score with the best of them, obviously. They can score with the Saints. They can score with the Chiefs. So I got the Rams minus 14.
Oof, that was a – you're putting a lot of faith in the Rams on the road, but Vegas says L.A. by 9.5 points here on the road in Detroit, so – yeah, it was pretty close by me, but let's dissect this game a bit. The over-under is the second highest on the slate. It's 54.5. Yeah, so let's talk about this one. So Detroit, if you listen to our over-unders podcast to preview the season, I said put some money on the Detroit under 8 wins. I just saw no chance that they were getting to 8, and they're on pace to win like 6 or 7, so I'm pretty proud on that call. Just it's been a catastrophe so far this year. They've just been they started off 0-2, then they'll beat the Patriots. They're just a very inconsistent team. So I don't, really don't know what to think of them, but I feel a little bit of trappiness with this one. I'm not sure why. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think McVay's gonna have them ready to roll. I think coming off that bye week, they're getting healthy. The you know, there was a whole thing about Todd Gurley not being 100% the game before because of a knee injury, but everything that I hear now, he's 100% ready to go. That Lions defense is not very good. That Lions offense is not very good. The Rams are just going to go in there. I mean, it's on the road, yes, but it's also in a dome, which the Rams play in a dome. They're used to it, and that speed kills, and they've got plenty of it. I think that Jared Goff offense is just going to eat this Lions defense apart.
Well said, and I could not agree with you more. I have Rams plus 3.5 in my $500 tease, so that is the second leg of our tease here. So they can lose by a field goal even, and you still get the victory, but I really don't see that happening. The Rams are just so much better than the Lions in literally every aspect, their defense, their offense. They're well coached. The Lions are not. It's been a brutal season for Detroit this year, and you know they've already paid Matthew Stafford. I really don't know where they go from here. He really looks lost without Golden Tate. What do you think?
Oh yeah, he's definitely missing Golden Tate, and they gotta have some way to replace him. They had that someone they thought could replace him, but hasn't really panned out that well. It's Brandon Powell. He's I believe a rookie this year. Hasn't done much. Hasn't been active much this year. So he unfortunately didn't pan out the way they had hoped he would pan out, and they just have nobody. They weren't expecting Marvin Jones to go on IR either. And like I said, they can't protect Matthew Stafford. A game a few weeks ago, they gave up 10 sacks. You're not going to get it done giving up 10 sacks. It's just not going to happen. I don't care what quarterback you are. And they're just going in the wrong direction, and I don't know what they're going to do. they got some decent young talent. Obviously, Galladay, they call him Mini Megatron. I don't know if he's quite on that level, but, you know, he's not quite as fast as Megatron, not quite as big as Megatron was, but he's still a pretty good young receiver that does, you know, some really good things. I think he can definitely blossom into a star, but they got to get that offensive line fixed.
Yeah, their defense is also atrocious, too, other than Darius Slay. There's not much to be proud of on that side of the ball, so I can see this one being a, kind of a shootout. I think the over-under of 54.5, I was thinking of teasing it down to like 40, something like that, but I think this one can definitely be a shootout. A lot of fantasy points scored in this one is what I see, but other than that, I just have the Rams in my tees. I think they've been a safe pick all season long. They've won 10 games, only lost one, so hopefully they'll go 11-1 after this one.
Yep, I agree there. And I think you said the Rams minus 9.5. That was the line.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I might bet that. I might take that because I think that the Rams put up too many points on this Lions defense. They're not going to be able to stop them. It's just going to get ugly quickly.
Right. The next game on our slate, 2-5-6 teams matching up here. We have the Denver Broncos coming into town, Cincinnati playing the Bengals. So big storyline in this one, of course, Andy Dalton is out for the rest of the year. Some guy named Jeff Driscoll is playing quarterback, whose name I learned several days ago, so he's in there now. All that being said, Denver's been very hot as of late. They were our trap game call a couple weeks ago. They upset the Chargers, then they got a nice win against Pittsburgh and helped us cash in a little money last week on their under 60.5 in our tees. So Denver's hot right now, so I said Denver by 4.
Yeah, this is the enter the Jeff Driscoll era. Got a funny thing about Jeff Driscoll because I know a little bit about him. Actually drafted by the 49ers as a rookie, obviously. He did really well in the preseason, and I thought he'd make the team. They actually cut him with the intention to sign him to the practice squad. The Bengals swooped in and stole him and pretty much pissed off the 49ers because they wanted to get him on the practice squad. But now he's with the Bengals, getting his first start of his career. He's a running quarterback. He basically, in the preseason of that year, basically ran every time he touched the ball. So I think you can see a lot of those RPOs, run-pass options with Joe Mixon. And I think that Jeff Driscoll can be sort of a Lamar Jackson light, if you will. And that Broncos defense, people think that, oh, they can't stop the run because at the beginning of the season they were terrible. I think Isaiah Crowell had over 200 yards against them. But since week 6, they've been the number 2 defense against the run, so I would definitely not count on Joe Mixon doing a lot of things in this one. AJ Green's supposed to return. It'll help the offense a little bit, but not enough for me to pick the Bengals. I got Broncos minus 4.5.
You boxed me out on this one. It is Broncos by 5 in Vegas right now. Very nice guess. So, yeah, this one, a couple things I want to talk about. So, on our me and Matt Daniels on our preseason Guess the Over-Under Win Totals podcast, Cincinnati's was at 7 for the season, and they won like 5 last year, 5 or 6. And I jokingly said, put your entire bank account on the under 7 wins, because there's no way Marvin Lewis and those guys get to 7 wins this year. And they started off 3-1, so I was like, oh my god, I cannot believe this. Somebody put 50 grand on this and is gonna be calling for my head, but I don't think they get there, man. They're 5-6 right now. Driscoll's at quarterback. They have a relatively tough schedule coming up. I think they win just about 7 games. They'll win 2 out of their next 5, maybe even win only 1 out of their next 5, and then in that case, that under would hit. So Cincinnati, I mean, it's been, I don't know what happened, man. They were 3-1 at the start of the year, looking to be possibly winning that division, and now here we are, 5-6. Dalton's on IR. The defense has been playing terrible as of late. They just gave up 35 to Baker and the Browns, so it's pretty brutal right now in Cincinnati. I think their season's done.
Yeah, I agree. They're not going to get the, over 7 games winning. I think the AJ Green injury actually had a humongous impact on them. Because that basically made Tyler Boyd as their number one receiver, so he was getting the number one cornerback coverage, which sort of slowed him down quite a bit. Obviously, without AJ Green, they were kind of stacking the box against Joe Mixon.
For sure. And Denver in this one, they've been hot. They started off 3-6. They're now 5-6. They're just a couple games behind the Colts, so if the Colts slip up here, maybe they could sneak into the wild card. Their schedule, Jeff, is extremely easy. I have it pulled up right here. So they have the Bengals this week on the road. Then next week they go to your 49ers. Should be a win there. Then they go back home to take on the Browns. Then they play the abysmal Raiders. And then they end the season at home against the Chargers, who may not be playing for anything at that point. They could easily win four or five of their next five, I think. I mean, there's an easy roadmap for them to win four games, then they're 9-7. Heck, they may win out because there's some easy games in there. So that would bring them to about 10-6. So this team that looked pretty brutal to start the year still could possibly hop in that wild card spot. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I give them at the very least, three wins there. I think that Cleveland-Browns game is going to be tougher than the people expect. Cleveland Browns have just kind of got it going lately. Baker Mayfield's doing some good things. They got Nick Chubb, their rookie, doing some great things as well. That defense is starting to step up. So that will be a tougher game. It looks like it's a primetime game as well. So the Bengals, I know it's mostly Andy Dalton. I'm sorry, not the Bengals. The Broncos haven't played very well on primetime games. I think they had one earlier in the season. They were just terrible. So that might be a game that I would sort of circle as a loss for them. But obviously Cincinnati, I think they beat us in San Francisco, and I think they beat Oakland. So that's at least three of those last five wins.
It's been a rocky season, and I don't know what we're going to see with Vance Joseph. I mean, if they win like nine games, I don't think they'd fire him. But to start off 3-6 in a second season, not great. Case Keenum, they paid him $20 million. So and we'll see what happens. But the over-under is 45 in this one. Denver, pretty heavy favorites at -250. Cincinnati, +200. Jeff Driscoll at quarterback, taking on Case Keenum. There's nothing I want to bet on in that game, and I will not be watching it. Anything for you?
Yeah, nothing for me either. I don't want to bet on backup quarterbacks. No thanks.
No thanks indeed. The next game on our slate, the Indianapolis Colts take on a division foe in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 3-8. One of my favorite storylines of the season and subplots this year, Jeff, has been Jalen Ramsey opening the season by talking all that shit and smack about everybody's quarterback, and then his quarterback is Blake Bortles, and they're 3-8. Like, and he got torched by Josh Allen, who he told him he was trash. So that's been probably one of my favorite storylines this year, is that the Jaguars are awful, and it looks like their Super Bowl window that we thought was going to be wide open for the next few years is closing fast. I mean, the division they play in is really good, and so it's been a shit show, a nightmare season for them. They are out of the playoffs right now. They are 3-8. So the Colts have been playing very well as of late. On the road, I have the Colts by 3.
Yeah, the Colts right now are playing just amazing. I mean, Luck is definitely back. I mean, there's no question about it. I think I was getting some stats on Luck, and he's second right now only to Patrick Mahomes in touchdown passes with 29. He now has 8 straight games with 3 touchdown passes or more. And he's only been sacked twice over his last 7 games, which is always a big storyline for Andrew Luck, was that his line was just terrible. He's always running for his life. But to be sacked only twice in his last 7 games, that offensive line is doing a lot better. Marlon Mack and that running back committee there is doing really well to sort of balance the offense out. And that defense is actually a little underrated. They're not quite as bad as people think they are. I think they, at one point, were leading the league in sacks. If they're not still up there, they might be still, like, you know, top 5 at least. So a pretty good defense as well to go along with that. And I think that the Colts, I think right now with the Texans, are going to come down to that, those two teams in this division. And I do think the Colts go into Jacksonville, and I got Colts -6.
Yeah, I like the thinking behind it, but, you know, they're giving a slight lean here to me. It is Colts by 3.5 on the road. I think they just think it's a divisional matchup. You know, the defense of the Jaguars is still very, very good, so maybe we see a little just like Blake Bortles is gone. Finally, the players are just like, enough is enough. Like, even Cody Kessler, he may not be as good as Bortles from a talent perspective, but just to have somebody new back there, it might be a breath of fresh air. So I think this could easily be a trap game for the Colts. I think they're going to come in here and just think, you know, it's Jacksonville, they're awful. But I think if they can shut down Andrew Luck, they have an excellent defensive line. If they can put some pressure on him, it could be a really tough day in Jacksonville for Andrew Luck. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Luck just played them a few games ago and let them up for 3 touchdowns, so I don't know if he's really too scared of this Jacksonville defense like people think he should be. And, you know, I'm looking at the Colts defense. They kind of fall in the middle of the pack in the sacks column. But they're tied for 6 with interceptions. So I think with Cody Kessler there, they're going to cause some turnovers. And I think that puts Andrew Luck in a great position to score. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have sort of mailed it in already. I think the Colts go in there and do their thing.
Yeah, for sure. I can see it. But, yeah, Cody Kessler is starting in this one. So I just can't. I can't do it. I can't bet on Kessler, Colt McCoy, Chase Daniel. Won't have it. I haven't seen enough. I just don't know what to think. So, yeah, I'm staying away from this game. The over-under is pretty high, 47, minus 230 for a Colts victory, plus 190 for the Jaguars. Anything really stick out to you, or are you with me? You're going to stay away?
I'm going to stay away, but there's one storyline we forgot to mention here, and it's a pretty big storyline of why I actually picked the Colts by 6, is there's no Fournette this week. He's suspended, of course, for throwing the haymaker last week. And without him and, you know, Blake Bortles being benched, I know he's not a great quarterback, but he's probably even better than Cody Kessler could have been. So I don't know. I just don't see it being as close as people think it'll be.
The next game on our slates, we have the red-hot Cleveland Browns, 4-6-1. Same record as the Packers. Got to throw that in there as a Vikings fan. Taking on the Houston Texans, who are 8-3. They have won 8 straight games after going 0-3 to start. So, yeah, this is a fun one, man. I'm excited to see this matchup. Baker taking on Deshaun Watson. However, you know, Houston is a much better team, so I said Houston by 3.5 at home.
I'm actually a little bit farther up there than you are with the Texans. The Texans are 3rd in DVOA in total defense. The Browns have not seen a defense this good, you know, coming into Texas. And the Browns just won their first road game after dropping 25 straight road games. So that's not a good stat that you want to have either. Texans have now won 8 games in a row. The only thing that would kind of give me a little bit of hesitation here is the Texans actually play the Colts next week. So it's a possible trap game for them because they're kind of looking at that Colts game as a possible, you know, whoever wins that game wins that division. But I do think the Browns go in and don't have quite the best game in a very sort of loud stadium. I think Texans by 7.5 is what I got them at.
Vegas sort of siding with me on this one. They say Texans by 4 right now in Vegas. I don't know what to think of the Browns right now. I've been putting... They kind of fucked me a couple weeks ago. I had Atlanta plus 9 in a tease, and the Browns won by like 18. So they're a tough they're a tough team to gauge right now. I mean, they just fired Hugh Jackson. It's been pretty good. I mean, they've gotten 2 wins in the last 2 weeks. So they're 4-6. You know, I mean, they've been a tough team to bet on. So I really don't know what to think. And then Houston. 8 straight wins, they're just bound to lose one of these games, right? I mean, they are not a good enough team to win 8 straight. I don't know how we got there. I did pick them to win the AFC South there to in our preseason podcast, but, you know, they've been playing some cupcake teams and getting teams at the right time and a lot of injured quarterbacks, stuff like that. So I think Houston has to lose one, and this might be the one, so... I think this is a total trap game for them. They're looking ahead to Indy next week. I don't know what to think, but I can see Cleveland winning this, even though they've lost like 25 straight road games.
Yeah, I don't know if they can go in and beat Texas. I think J.J. Watt and company are going to be too much for them. But I think that this week, with the way I've been guessing all these lines so far incorrectly, I'm probably going to just save my money this week and wait till next week because I'm way off.
Well, I mean... On the flip side, I mean, you may be right in thinking, hey, you know, the Rams should win this game by 14, and maybe when the line is so off from your guess, then that's the time to put some money on it. Maybe you have a better insight than Vegas does. So we will see on Sunday, but for me, I really don't want to tease or do anything with this game. I don't know if it's going to be particularly close. I don't know. I just feel like Houston has to lose a game here. They should not be winners of nine straight after this one. I can't really see it.
Yeah, I think they're the first team to, I think they started off, 1-3? They're the first team to ever have that and then go eight straight after that in NFL history. So it's never happened before. So it's a good trap game, like you said. The Colts are up next week. It's going to be a huge, huge division game. So, yeah, it's a possible trap game for them. The Browns could definitely pull this one out.
The next game on our slate, somehow, Jeff, 4-7 Buffalo Bills. Yes, the Bills have four wins in Week 13. Taking on the Dolphins, who are 5-6. They started off 3-0, but have slid in recent weeks. Brock Lobster, Mr. Osweiler is no longer starting. Tannehill is back, but they really, and thank God they did, because it made us cash $1,200 last week, but they were up 10 on the Colts last week and blew it. They absolutely blew that lead in the fourth. They were just looked lost on offense there the last several series, and the Colts ended up winning that game by a field goal. So I sort of sweated that one out. But Miami coming off a terrible loss, but it is in Miami. So I said Dolphins by 4.5.
Yeah, the fact that they're in Miami does kind of help them a little bit. The Bills are a hard team to figure out because, you know, they go up and they put, 41 points on the Jets. Not the Jets are a great team, but 41 points is a lot of points for an offense, regardless how bad your opponent is. You know, they beat Tennessee earlier in the season, who was actually at that time pretty decent. They beat Minnesota in Week 3, which no one, you know, saw that one coming. And then, they got that win in Jacksonville, which Jacksonville should be a better team than they actually are. So they're a hard team to figure out going into Miami. It is a division game, which sort of gives you pause anyway. But I got this one as a pick 'em. I think this one's just going to be, there's no really line on this one that I'm going to play. It's just a pick 'em for me.
Yeah, the fact that... The Bills basically have the same record as the Packers right now. I mean, and who saw that coming? I mean, their over-under just to start the season was like 6, and I don't know. They might actually get there in a couple weeks, so we'll see. But Vegas is siding with me on this one. I'm kind of kicking your butt this week. It is Miami by it is Miami by 6 in this one. A very low-scoring game, I predict, and Vegas does as well. It is an over-under of 40 on this one, the lowest on the slate. So, yeah, I really don't know what to think about this one. I'm definitely not going to be betting on it, I'll tell you that. If you want to talk about any bets in this one, sure, but basically every podcast we've done, whenever I see a game with the Bills on the schedule, I'm like, I'm not going to talk about this game. I'm not going to watch this game. I'm not going to bet on this game. Just whatever happens, happens. I don't even register the Bills as an NFL franchise right now. They are just so hard to figure out. I don't get it. They've had like 4 or 5 different quarterbacks there. It's been a weird season, but... So last year, the Jets won 5 games, and most people predicted them to win like one or maybe no games. And so Todd Bowles got a little bit of love in the Coach of the Year conversation because they won 5 games and nobody saw that coming. They almost beat the Patriots and the Saints. I feel that way with McDermott, Sean McDermott, coach of the Bills here. The fact that the Bills have 4 wins is unbelievable right now. They were just... a train wreck to start the year. Vontae Davis retired at halftime of a game. Like, I just don't know how they're at 4 wins right now. It's pretty much a miracle at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the offense is dead last in DVOA. They're the worst offense in the league. You know, they just, how they got 4 wins, I have no idea. Especially, like I said, that Minnesota game surprised everybody because everybody stacked the Minnesota defense, you know, with a running back in that game, you know, in DFS, and we all got screwed because the Bills ended up putting up 27 points against them, and it was just sort of like, where did that come from? And they've been kind of that way all year, sort of like they get wins that they shouldn't get, and it's just, I don't know, it's just very, it's a very weird team to figure out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, the week that the Bills upset my Vikings in my season-long fantasy league, the guy who I was playing, he had Latavius Murray, Stephon Diggs, the Vikings defense, Kirk Cousins. He literally just like stacked the hell out of that game, and it was a smart play, and yet they just got destroyed. They only put up 7, and the Bills won by 21 points. So you never really know. Football, it's a weird sport. All these lines, all these over-unders, they're just predictions. We really don't know what's going to happen until the two teams square off and play the game. So yeah, that's what makes football fun.
Definitely. Why we love this game so much.
The next game on our slate, we have the 9-2 Kansas City Chiefs coming off a bye, taking on the exact opposite 2-9 Oakland Raiders. Not much to say about this one. A blowout is imminent. It's going to be a bloodbath in this one. KC coming in against a team that looks to be tanking right now. They're 2-9, so I went pretty high. KC by 14 on the road is my guess.
Yeah, this game's going to be ugly. It's going to be super ugly. This is the number one pass offense versus the dead last pass defense in DVOA. So I went Chiefs minus 16.
This one's been a little better than your previous guesses, but it is Vegas siding with me right on the money. It is the Chiefs by 2 touchdowns, 14 points. So this seems like a perfect game to tease because there's no way that the Raiders beat this team. There's just no chance in hell. There's no way Gruden comes up with a game plan, sits in the film room, and figures out how to take down Mahomes. There is no way. Too many injuries for the Raiders. Carr is just thrown to no-name guys. You keep hyping up Aitman, man, but it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, man. So this game going to be a total bloodbath, but it is a perfect teaser candidate. I am bumping KC down to minus 1 in this one. So that is the third leg of my 13-point tease. One more to go. So, yeah, I think easy win. Shouldn't be a problem for them to just win outright, and then you get the points. So, yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah, definitely like this game. And to be fair to my boy Aitman, I'm hyping him up in Daily Fantasy where he is minimum salary, which he did have a great game last week, but he did have 10 targets. If you told me a guy at minimum salary can get 10 targets, I'm taking that all the time. Now, granted, he only caught 3 of them for like 15 yards, but it's still the targets are there, and if he can catch a few of those, maybe we can get some good points on the board. But yeah, that's one reason why I took him. Chiefs at Raiders, like you said, Raiders are tanking. They're just waiting to get to Vegas. And the Chiefs, of course, are on their way to, you know, going through the AFC and being the top seed. So there's no hope the Raiders win this game.
Agreed. It would be one of the most shocking games I have ever seen in my life if the Raiders somehow win this game. There's just no chance in my mind. But I remember saying the exact same thing with the Bills taking on the Vikings like 7 weeks ago. So, but this is a division game. I mean, the Chiefs, they're going to try and lock up a home field advantage throughout the playoffs. This is an easy one to do it with. They're going to be 10-2 after this game. There is no doubt in my mind. So I like them in a tease, and you know, Vegas doesn't even want to lose money. At least my bookie doesn't. They aren't even giving lines on this game because it would be KC minus 2,000. So they're not even going to give lines. No reason to put them in a parlay or anything. The over-under is 55, so pretty high as well. But yeah, I just, the one thing I wanted to talk about is the John Gruden hire was kind of fun when it happened, you know, to have the guy who used to do Monday Night. I was a big fan of him on Monday Night. I thought he was a really good broadcaster. And just to have him go back to where he used to coach and be their head coach, kind of a cool storyline. But he hasn't been in the league in like 12 years. Like, the game has changed so much in the time that he was in the broadcast booth. I don't really see on paper why they thought this move would work. I mean, he literally, like, McVay taking on Gruden. Like, McVay has so much more football knowledge in 2018 than Gruden has. So there's a reason they're 2-9. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that 10-year contract is what really got me. I think it's like a 10-year guaranteed contract, so he's going to be there for a while. But I wonder how that meeting went. I wonder if he walked in there and said, hey, we're going to tank. We're going to be bad for 2 or 3 years. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to trade away these picks that I'm going to trade away these players that we got and get a bunch of picks and let me build this team from scratch. And if that was the, you know, the conversation that they had, then maybe this is exactly what they want. Maybe they want to go to Vegas with a clean slate. They're going to have a gazillion first round picks. They're just going to draft the hell out of the, you know, everybody they can possibly pick. pickup they're going to get. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade some of those first-round picks to get more picks in the second round and just start over. And if that was the plan, then it's accomplished, basically, because they're doing that.
Yeah, very true. It's just been the over-under in our preseason podcast. The Raiders were projected to win 8 games, and that is all but gone right now. They have 9 losses, so that under... I really didn't know what to do with that one. I didn't really know what we were going to see, but a lot of people, there was a lot of money on the under 8 wins for Gruden and the Raiders, and that was a really good bet because they are terrible.
They most definitely are. That bet was probably made even before they had traded away some of their best players. So, yeah, there's no way they're winning. They would have won even close to 8 games.
No doubt. The next game on our slate, my team, the Vikings, 6-4-1. Taking on the Patriots in New England, in Foxborough, 8-3. Yeah, so for this game, Jeff, the Vikings are coming off a nice win in Green Bay. They won by a touchdown, but did you watch that game by chance?
I did. I watched it almost the entire thing.
So the worst coaching move that I saw all season long, it came in week 6 with Frank Reich and the Colts. It was the game was tied. They're on like their own, like, 35-yard line, and they went for it on 4th-and-2 to try and get the win. There's like 10 seconds left. A lot of people know what I'm talking about, and they missed it, and then Houston literally just got a first down, kicked an easy field goal, and they lost. And that game is really going to bite them in the ass that they didn't take the tie there and just kick the ball. They just call it a tie. You know, it is what it is, but they lost that game, dropped to 1-5. Tell me if you remember this. So the Vikings are up 24-14. And they're at, like, the Green Bay 8, and it's 4th-and-2, and it's, like, an easy, like, 24-yard field goal for Bailey. And they go for it on 4th-and-2, and I'm sitting on my couch pulling my hair out that they would not just go up by 13 and that they would not just kick the field goal. And they missed it. They missed it on 4th, and I know they were trying to go up 17, but that was one of the worst coaching decisions I've seen in my life. It was so bad that our local KFAN radio station here that does all the Minnesota sports, they have the post-game chat or whatever where you can call in. And I was so upset by the call by Zimmer to not kick the field goal that I called in and actually, like, went off on the air about how dumb it was. And it just, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, to go up 13, the Packers got a field goal right away and kicked an onside kick. They easily could have got that. And Aaron Rodgers, 7 points, that's just not enough. So what were your thoughts on that?
The analytics say that was the right play to make because it would have put them up 3 scores and put the game out of reach. The 2 scores would have been either one. If they had, you know, missed it, obviously they had still got 2 scores to do. And if they even if they kicked the field goal, it's still 2 scores to beat them out, 2 touchdowns and extra points, but it's still 2 scores, 2 possessions. If they get that touchdown, it's game over. They didn't get it. And then with the analytics on the new onside kick, it's like the percentage-wise of successful onside kicks has gone down so much because of this new rule where they can't get a running start. They got to start at the line of scrimmage, which you would call it on a kick. And it's like a 2% chance that they get that back. So analytics say that the Vikings made the right call, but analytics don't take into effect that it's Aaron Rodgers on the side of the field who's done it a million times.
Yes, so yes, thank you.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I would say, because it was Aaron Rodgers, it may have been smart to just kick the field goal and take your chances.
Right, and so, I mean, they would have been up 13 with an easy Bailey field goal, and, like, that's still, you have to get 2 touchdowns. You still need 2 touchdowns, and I understand that they can still win, but they could have still won being up 10, and they almost did come back, and so I was really scared. That really is going to be forgotten in this game, and it really could have bit them in the ass, so I had to go on the local radio station here and just vent for like 2 minutes because it was just ridiculous. I could not believe that he would not just kick the field goal. But that is neither here nor there. That was last week. The Vikings did get the victory, so, you know, I can't be that pissed. So New England, it is December in Foxborough. They historically have been incredibly good in December at home. So I said New England by 3.
Yeah, I think I wrote this number down on Tuesday. I think if I had done it today, I may have changed my number, but I'm going to stick with what I wrote down on Tuesday. And the Patriots are just, like you said, they're tough at this time of year. Tom Brady hasn't been Tom Brady the last few games, but it's also because Gronkowski's been out. He's back now. I went Pats minus six.
Right on the head for Jeff Lambert. It is New England by 6 points in Vegas right now.
Finally.
Finally he gets one. You had a good feel for this one. Yeah, New England, it is in Foxborough in December. They have just been, historically, I think they've lost like 3 games in December at home in the Belichick-Brady era. One of them came to your Niners when they had Kaepernick, I heard on the radio.
I remember that game.
Yeah,
so that was a great game.
Yeah, for sure. So in this one, I mean, I kind of like the New England money line, but I looked at their schedule this year, and they have won one game by more than 20 points this year. It came against the Dolphins in week 4. They won by like 31 points, but everybody was not believing in them. Nobody believed in the Patriots at that point. They were 1-2. Miami had looked good. They were 3-0. So people, I just think Belichick and Brady went out and just showed Miami who's boss. But other than that, they're not blowing teams out anymore. I mean, this isn't the same Pats team. Gronk is basically a shell of himself, as is Brady. He's been pretty, has looked pretty unathletic on the field as well. And just, it's kind of a weird Pats team. So in this one, I like the Vikings plus 19. In my tees, it is the last leg and probably my favorite leg because the Vikings are very good. I could see them upsetting this Patriots team here. But they're not losing by 3 touchdowns. Like, they may lose by 14, 15, 16, 17, but there's just no way the Vikings lose by 19. So that's my last leg in my $500 tease here.
I was just looking at the Patriots, because they've been terrible, terrible on the road, and that's where they've got all 3 of their losses have all been on the road. This one, of course, is at home, and, you know, I think the Patriots get this victory here, but it may be closer than people expect. But I agree with you.
The over-under is 49.5, pretty high. And then the Vikings plus 205 for a victory. New England minus 245. So, yeah, I just, I hate to do it, Jeff. I hate betting on my teams because then I can lose and be pissed that the Vikings lost. But in this one, I just, the 3 touchdowns for the Vikings. I mean, they just have so many weapons. Diggs, Thielen, Cook. Cousins played a great, great game against Green Bay the other day. So I can see them losing, and I do see them losing, but it's only by a touchdown, maybe 10, 14. But I don't see that being 3 touchdowns. The Vikings are a very, very good team this year.
Yeah, agreed. And they've been playing sort of under their potential, I think, all year. I think they're starting to hit their stride finally.
Yeah, very true. The next game on our slate, we have Jeff's 2-9 49ers taking on the 6-5 Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Niners right now, if the season ended today, they would have the first overall pick in the draft. So I think at the end of the day, Oakland is going to end up with it. They have a pretty tough schedule, so I think Oakland's going to get it. But San Fran will probably get the 2nd or 3rd overall pick. Now, the Niners have Jimmy G, their franchise guy. They already paid him. So they're not going to be drafting a quarterback. Like, what do you see the Niners doing in the draft, since I'm sure you're kind of looking forward to it?
Well, if they get the number one pick, or even if they don't, and the team ahead of them is drafting a quarterback, they're going to get Bosa. They're going to go Bosa defensive end there. I think he's going to give us that much-needed sort of pass rush. I think our run defense has been very good, but our pass rush has been sort of lacking, and our secondary in general has been terrible too, but a pass rush can fix your secondary quite good. So I think Bosa would be the pick that we make there, whether we end up at 1st or 2nd, and possibly even 3rd. I think we still get Bosa no matter where we end up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. If I was GM and there's a team that's really quarterback happy, you know, a team like the Bills or maybe Washington wants to get, or Denver, any of those teams want to trade some picks. I mean, that 2nd, 3rd overall pick, if you could turn that into maybe a 1st next year, a 2nd this year, maybe 2 or 3 3rd round picks, I think they trade this pick, honestly, but we'll see what they do. But Seattle, on the other hand, very surprising, 6-5. They are now in the wild card spot, the last one there. They've been playing really good football as of late, so I said the Hawks by 7.5.
Yeah, this place is always a tough place to play in Seattle. Even when the Seattle Seahawks are not a very good team, it's hard to go up into the stadium and win a game. The Niners have always traditionally struggled here. Even when we were good at winning, you know, playoff games, we couldn't go into Seattle and win a game to save our life. So I think that that's going to sort of come back and bite us. You know, obviously we're starting Nick Mullins, our third-string quarterback. That's not going to help us. Breida, our very good running back, is sort of banged up. Our receiving core is really banged up right now, and they can't go into the Seahawks stadium and even come close to winning this game. So I went with the Seahawks minus 10.
Very solid guess again. You are 2 for 2 on your last two picks. It is Seahawks by a touchdown and a field goal. 10 points is what Vegas says. I know Seattle's played really well, and San Fran just sort of looks ho-hum right now, and Nick Mullins is still starting, but I feel like 10 points is a little too much. Like, are we sure that Kyle Shanahan isn't going to create a good game plan for them and possibly get this victory in Seattle?
I don't see it. I mean, he might have a great game plan, but he didn't have the players to execute it. I think that we might be without Pierre Garçon, or we're going to be without Goodwin, our star receiver, if you can call it a star receiver. We're going to have basically two rookies at receiver plus a rookie at quarterback, and Matt Breida is a first-year starter at running back. That's not a good combination there going into Seattle, where you're going to be facing that, you know, that 12th man, that large, you know, that loud crowd that they have up there that actually registers on the Richter scale. There's just no way that they'd be able to pull that off. There's just too many variables that are against us.
Yeah, for sure. And Seattle, I mean, this is just a cupcake game for them. I said it on our podcast last week. They literally get 4 wins automatically playing the Cardinals and your Niners. I mean, there's just it's been pretty brutal in their division games this year. So they've been kind of a surprise because they started off 1-3, I believe, 1-2. And then they've kind of turned it around here. So, they may be still, they will not die. Everybody thought this was going to be a rebuilding year, and yet here they are sitting at a playoff spot because Wilson's been just playing really, really well. The over-under is 46, Seattle minus 500 for a victory. San Fran plus 370, so this was an easy teaser candidate, but I liked several ones more than this one, so I'm not throwing Seattle in a tease, but it sounds like you might want to bet the minus 10 there. You don't think your Niners have any shot on the road here, right?
Yep, I think I may actually bet against my team to lose this game by, you know, by 10 points. I just don't think that the Seahawks are going to let up on us, and they're just going to, because they want to run the ball, they're going to pound the ball, and we can't stop them, so they're just going to do it to us.
The next game on our slate, the Sunday night matchup. This is a fun one, man. The Chargers, 8-3, taking on the 7-3-1 Pittsburgh Steelers in the Steel City there at Heinz Field. Jeff, the one thing I wanted to talk about, two teams who are bound to make the playoffs here matching up. The AFC playoff picture, man, is super, super fun. You have the Chiefs, you have the Patriots, the Texans in there. Pittsburgh's having a great year again. The Chargers are looking hot. And then the Colts, who've been playing really well. If the season ended today, they'd be in it. This is going to be a fun playoffs from that side of the AFC. What do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because coming into the season, they talked about how strong the NFC teams were. But really, we've kind of seen just two teams kind of rise there in the NFC. In the AFC, it's wide open, like you said. I mean, I think there's a lot of solid teams out there. These two teams being, you know, two of the teams that are vying for playoffs and playing really well. And it's just been a fun year for the AFC right now.
Yeah, it's so much more interesting than the NFC because literally I can't think of any scenario that the NFC championship game isn't Saints-Rams. I just don't see any way that, like, the Vikings or the Hawks are going to come in there and possibly upset either of those teams. The Bears, I do not believe in. So I think I really don't see any hope for any of the NFC wildcard or non-Rams-Saints teams. But the AFC, you could talk me into the Chargers making a run, the Steelers making a run, the KC's, of course, the team to beat, but New England is always tough to play in. So it's going to be a lot of fun there in January. But for this game, It is in Pittsburgh, so I said the Steelers by 3 was my guess.
Yeah, I think this game right here would be one of the biggest flip-flops as far as spread would go if it was at Chargers or if it's, you know, in Pittsburgh, because I think the Chargers are very good at home. The Steelers aren't very good on the road, so if they had been playing in San Diego, this would have been a different line. But I think being in Pittsburgh, I think that favors the Steelers quite a bit, and I got the Steelers by 3.
You, me, and Vegas, all in the same boat here. It is the Steelers by 3 points right now in Vegas. So, yeah, for this one, the one thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, the Chargers are 8-3. They haven't played anyone, man. They haven't beaten anybody good yet. They've gotten to 8 wins. They get to play the Raiders, you know, the 49ers beat up on them, the Cardinals. They really have not played anybody good. So this is like their first test against the Steelers here. And I don't think it's going to go well. I think the Steelers win this game by quite a few points. So my last bet of the night is $50 on the Steelers minus 3. I think they win by 10 points, 14 points. I really don't think the Chargers are good enough without Gordon there to win on the road in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I may have jinxed their team because I made a comment on one of my podcasts about the Chargers and them being snake bitten with the injury bug, you know, obviously over the years, losing Danny Woodhead a couple times. They lost Keenan Allen a couple times. Melvin Gordon's rookie season, he was injured for a lot of that. Their offensive line one year, literally every player on the offensive line was injured and out of the game. They had like these backups in there. So they've been snake bitten. This is the year they're finally healthy, playing really well the way they should be playing. And then I make a comment on my podcast that Melvin Gordon gets hurt. So not a good thing. Melvin Gordon makes this offense go, especially on the road where they're going to need him. They do have Austin Eckler. Their backup is pretty good, but he's more of a pass-catching running back. He's not really sort of that guy that you can hand the ball to him 20 times. So that will definitely hurt them. So being in Pittsburgh, I'm definitely going to go with the Steelers here, and I agree. I think it's going to be more than just the 3 points.
Yeah, for sure. It's a really, really good Sunday night matchup. They've had, the NFL's had a lot of good games in recent weeks, so 51.5 is the over-under here. Pittsburgh minus 190 for the victory. The Chargers plus 160. Yeah, I really don't. The Chargers, they got to prove it to me. Like, they literally, go look at their schedule. They've played nobody. The 3 losses they've had were pretty brutal losses, too, like against Denver, a team they should easily handle. But I don't know. I don't think Anthony Lynn is going to come on the road here and do anything in Pittsburgh. I don't believe in them right now, especially with Gordon hurt, and he will most likely not play in this ball game. So that is my last bet, a little flyer, $50 on the Steelers minus 3. Alrighty, the last game on our slate, another NFC East divisional matchup with the somehow 6-5 Washington Redskins with Colt McCoy at the helm, taking on the, again, somehow 5-6 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. It is in Philly, so I said Colt McCoy on the road, and he's not going to do anything, so I said Philly by 6.
Yeah, I agree. Colt McCoy on the road, he is way more turnover prone than Alex Smith was, and that was kind of how they were winning games, is run the ball, don't turn it over. Well, they can't run the ball now, and they keep turning the ball over. So not a good recipe for success there going into Philly. I had Eagles 6.5.
Vegas siding a little bit with me on this one. It is just 6 points for Philly at home. So, Jeff, you're out there in the D.C. area, and you, of course, get the Redskins fan line and local media there. So you kind of know, you're sort of my Redskins insider here. For several years, I've felt like there's like a little piece of Washington, D.C. there that really likes Colt McCoy. I think there's a big part of the fan base who actually like wanted to see him start some games when Cousins was struggling, when RG3 was struggling, and he won a game in Dallas several years ago on Monday night. And he played pretty well in Dallas on Thanksgiving. He just had a couple turnovers that were kind of his receiver's fault. Do you think Colt McCoy, what do you think about him? I think there's a pretty big fan base in Washington that thinks he's actually pretty good, and I kind of agree.
There's an ongoing joke here in Washington. mentioned that the most popular man in the city is the Redskins' backup quarterback, whoever that may be. You know, obviously the president of the United States, you know, he lives there in Washington, but the most popular guy is the backup quarterback. It's just, it's been a mess here for so long since Mark Ripken was here with their quarterback situation. It's been a terrible carousel of quarterbacks, and Colt McCoy gets the start, and yeah, everyone was excited to see him. You know, he played well in the preseason games, you know, leading up to this year and last year, and he got his chance there in Dallas and won that game. If you beat Dallas in Washington, then you're a legend already. So it's a little bit overblown because I think Colt McCoy is an okay backup quarterback, but to ask him to sort of go win games, especially with coming to the playoffs, he's not going to be able to do that, I don't think, in this Eagles team that's better than they should be.
Right. I mean, it is, again, we've said it so many times on the pod, 5-6 for Philadelphia. It's been a real nightmare Super Bowl hangover for them. You know, you think with this team won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, with Wentz, God knows what kind of monster we're going to see, and yet they've been really, really bad this year. Even with Wentz at quarterback, they just got destroyed by the Saints several weeks ago. So it's been a strange year in Philadelphia. I mean, right now the Cowboys kind of have a stranglehold on that division, but Philly's not out of it. The one thing about them, the last time you were on the podcast, Jeff, it was the several days after Golden Tate was traded over there. I, of course, have him on my fantasy team. So we talked about how we thought maybe it was a good move that he went there because they play in a better offense, but he's been a train wreck there in Philly, man. They just have not been able to figure out how to use him. Do you think maybe this is the week he breaks out in the slot?
Yeah, I mean, he's actually led the league led the team in targets last week, and even in yardage too. So it's coming. It's just he hasn't been able to break it out yet. He hasn't been able to do that run after the catch yet. They're going to find a way to use him, and he'll be valuable in that offense. And on the other side, Alshon Jeffrey hasn't done his job either. He's supposed to be the guy taking the top off the defense. He hasn't done much since, I think, week 7, I believe, was his last really good game. Really, the only guys doing well right now are Zach Ertz, the tight end, and their new undrafted rookie running back, Mr. Josh Adams, who had a pretty good preseason, is now playing pretty well back there undrafted. So if they can figure out that passing game, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, it's looking pretty grim right now. They may be fighting for a wild card spot here, but Dallas, I believe, they are beating the Saints still right now as we speak. It's in the fourth quarter, but I think the Eagles' playoff hopes are really just very, very slim at this point. They're basically two games back from a wild card. They really just have to win the division, honestly. So I really don't know, but this is the game to do it. Colt McCoy on the road does not strike fear in a lot of the Eagles players, I'm sure. So I kind of like the -6, but I was thinking of teasing it as well. But I don't know. This is kind of a stay away for me. Anything you want to talk about in this game? The over-under is 45.
Yeah, I'm definitely staying away. It's a division game. These two teams don't like each other very much. It's going to be, no thanks. I don't think the Redskins are going to be a very good offense with Colt McCoy and Adrian Peterson banged up. And that offensive line, sort of a makeshift offensive line with two injuries on that line. And the Eagles, their secondary is pretty injured. I think they played last week without the top 5 defensive backs. So I think that they're susceptible to the pass there, but unfortunately the Redskins don't have anybody to take advantage of that. They got Josh Doctson, and that's basically it. Josh Doctson and Jordan Reed is the only options they have really in the passing game. So it's not going to be a pretty Monday night game.
Yeah, both teams have been pretty decimated by injuries, especially the Eagles secondary. And then, you know, Paul Richardson's on IR now, and I believe as is Jamison Crowder as well. So, yeah, not a lot of weapons. I like the idea of this game on Monday night. It should have been a fun one, but there's just been a lot of injuries, and I think the Eagles should probably just rush all over them and take care of this one at home. I don't see an upset game in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be an ugly game just because I think the Eagles are still struggling, and the Redskins are obviously going to be hurting without some of their players. It'll be an ugly Monday night, sort of slug it out division game, and I want no part of it as far as betting goes.
Absolutely. So thank you, Jeff, for coming on the show. Always happy to have your insight here. Where can they follow you at?
On Twitter, you can follow me at JeffLambert77. Of course, I also am on this podcast. Twitter, live on Twitch. Twitch, right? That's what it's called. I'm not up on these new social medias. Live on Twitch, and we're live on YouTube as well. So everywhere you can find this podcast now. And then, obviously, goingfor2.com is my baby. It's sort of my site there. So check us out.
Most definitely. And we've been doing you proud here at the show. As, of course, everybody knows, it is the goingfor2.com NFL sports betting show. And we have just had an incredible run of 10 straight weeks of making a profit. So hopefully we can do that in week 13 here. Just to recap my picks, we have going relatively light this week, $500 tease involving the Chiefs -1, the Green Bay Packers -1, the Vikings +19, and then the Rams +3.5. So pretty confident in those ones. Should be a pretty straightforward week. However, Jeff, it has been, I think Vegas has lost a lot of money in the last several months. Now, they of course haven't lost money, but more than they're used to losing. I think a lot of these, the Rams and Chiefs, if you put them in a parlay with anyone, they're going to win you money. So I feel like we're destined for just the week from hell here in week 13, where like Green Bay were to lose to the Cardinals and the Chiefs lose to Oakland somehow. So maybe this is the week that everything hits the fan.
Let's hope not, man. This is a big week for me and all my fantasy leagues and fantasy leagues. So I need this to be just a regular old week.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, appreciate you coming on the podcast, and you're always welcome. So have a good night.
All right, you too.